Hello and welcome to That Movie Review. I'm Jason.
And I'm Luke.
We're the guys from That Films You, and this is our review of Sandy Wexler. And spoiler warning is advised.
This is the third Netflix original feature film.
Netflix bell.
It's the third in a line of movies being produced under a deal between Adam Sandler, Happy Madison Productions, and Netflix, following The Ridiculous Six and The Do-Over. We're also getting four more, aren't we?
Yes.
Eight movies in total.
We're getting a few more, so
which
hopefully
could
this
become
is
12.
Good.
We don't know. But at this stage, this is the third.
Right, and Stephen Brill returns from directing The Do-Over to also direct this one, with writing credits going to Dan Buller, Paul Sadow, and Adam Sandler himself.
In Sandy Wexler, Adam Sandler plays a talent manager working in Los Angeles in the 1990s, representing a group of eccentric clients. His skills as a manager are challenged when he discovers a legitimately talented singer, Courtney Clark, played by Jennifer Hudson.
The Sandy Wexler character whom Sandler plays is a satirical homage to Sandler's real-life manager, Sandy Wernick. And you have to basically look that up to know it, or know the guy himself, or be a part of Sandler's crew of Merry Men.
I mean, I didn't know he was a real person. I knew going in, but I didn't know who the guy was. So after I watched Sandy Wexler, I did go and watch an interview with the real Sandy.
The real Sandy?
The real Sandy.
There it is. It's the hot interviews these days. I want an interview with Sandy Wernick. Give it to me.
I mean, admittedly, it wasn't. I don't think it was new. I think it was older than somebody just. In fact, no, it was new. They was asking you about,
about the movie. Let's talk about the movie.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, we have a love for Adam Sandler that people may agree or disagree with.
The best Sandler is the '90s Sandler.
Yeah,
and with that in mind, I was excited for this movie
because the trailers did make it look like it was going back to Sandler's old style, you know, the Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison.
Look at the Waterboy, where he's got a funny voice.
Yeah, Little Nicky, even a bit later,
again,
but still
2000. But
yeah, no, one of my and it's set in the 90s. This one,
you're seeing posters for Time Cop, which I enjoyed, other 90s things, Offspring,
but that voice, you know, like it was good in, like I think it worked with Little Nicky.
And Waterboy,
and Waterboy
I
yeah.
did accept it more then. Maybe it was my age at the time of watching, and it was just more funny to
tell
me at the time. But now, though...
Tell me how you feel about it.
It was grating, and he had that laugh.
Ha-ha!
he clapped his hands. I get it that that's the joke. Like, he will clap and laugh to make a point of like acknowledging something funny, even though it's really funny. Like Chris Rock is in this as one of the many, many cameos. And it makes reference, like, you don't have to clap and laugh. It's Eddie Murphy, who isn't in this movie, but referenced by
But they
Rock.
Talk about him. They talk about
but
him.
But many people are in this movie.
We should just
do it. Reel them off.
Let's see how fast I can do it. Luis Guzman, Rob Reiner, Chris Elliott, Milo Ventimiglia, Carl Weathers, Darius Rucker, Jason Priestley, Gary Del Abate, Arsenio Hall, Quincy Jones, Judd Apatow, Janine Garofalo, Paulie Shaw, Kevin Neal. I'm going to skip a few because this is ridiculous. Louis Anderson, Weird Al, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds, Mason Mace with a dollar sign, Beetha, Lisa Loeb, John Lovitz. Yeah, and then there's the usual crew. You've got Rob Schneider, Kevin James, Terry Crews.
You missed Sandy Wernick. The reason we're
the
here
actual,
in the first
yeah,
place.
Sorry, he's the actual Sandy Wernick.
Jane Seymour, she's in it. And looking hot. She looks good in this movie, and she plays the wife to Wernick's character.
Well, her scenes, yeah, they awkwardly kind of sexy.
You know what?
Let's move on.
That scene, that sums up the movie for me, which we should really do a verdict, but not that kind of scene. There is some legitimately really funny scenes in this movie. Jane Seymour trying to seduce him is one of them. There's others. But it's like a patchwork of funny scenes in a movie that goes for over 2 hours.
Yes, the runtime of this is it's too long for a comedy. I think I did it for both Ridiculous Six and The Do-Over. It's almost like an
edited version of the film, or at least it still needed a few more edits of like, what can we delete? What can we fine tune here? And it's just like they haven't done it. Yeah, it drags, and a lot of it comes off dry. Like you said, like there are some funny moments where, yeah, you get a chuckle out of me. But yeah, it's...
I'm going to jump to my funniest because I'm going to lift the mood because we're going into negative territory. For me, the funniest scene in the whole film, and I will say, like, I am a Sandler fan and I'm also a Kevin James fan. He cracks me up. He does. He doesn't always hit it out of the park lately, but all the Kevin James, just like all the Sandler, really do it for me. The scene where Sandy Wexler, throughout the movie, like he has a way of eating where not a lot of food is going in his mouth. There's reference that he's doing the Atkins diet. He only eats meat, constantly eating meat. And it gets to the point where he's the talent agent for Kevin James's character, what is a ventriloquist act.
Yep.
But all the characters have personalities of their own, even with James, which is, I guess, kind of funny. But where...
Oh, he's a committed artiste.
Wexler can't carry himself in the business negotiation. And then James's character has the idea of shoving his arm up his back. Yeah. And then just works Sandler or Sandy as a puppet.
It's
hilarious.
Breakfast with Bernie's or, I don't know.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's. What am I thinking of?
For me, that was the scene of the whole movie. Sandler just been thrown around the place, really committed, and it's a legitimate funny scene.
On that, I'm gonna use that as my little segue to talk about the plot because I have a point to it. Hold that Kevin James thought. You've got an onslaught of clients. Now, Sandy Wexler is sort of like supposed to be like the funny, weird character of the film. It would have been good if everybody else was just playing it straight and he was just the ridiculous one. But his onslaught of clients all have little quirks and weirdnesses to them.
They do all have quirks, but even he's too much for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, I think if they were more on the same level, like if his clients were just the same level of silliness as him, but they're always calling him out on the fact that he always lies, his ideas.
Yeah, so
are
even
not
to them.
Good.
No, you're right. But the main two that we've got Courtney Clark, the Jennifer Hudson character, who is the legitimate like talent, the one that this movie's all about. It focuses on their relationship, both Sandy and her. However, Kevin James, what's his character's name? Ted Rafferty. Let's call him the puppet master guy. If this movie was focused on him, I think I would have enjoyed this movie better.
Like you said, completely, them two together.
They together had funnier scenes, and I think they should have just gone goofball with this film, and I would have enjoyed it, and where we go with the rating in a little bit of time would be a lot higher.
Just the scene where Rafferty, where he's told by Wexler that the other clown performer in town,
he's dead.
committed suicide. And then Rafferty's response is, did you kill him? I just laughed. Like, yeah, them two together, I agree completely.
And then the puppets are like, it's a good thing, right? Like, this is good.
Jennifer Hudson is a good actress. She is a good singer. I didn't like her character. And the heart of this movie being a love story, I didn't buy them together at all.
Yeah, the movie balances both the comedy side and, like, you know, it brings the feels. Well, it tries to anyway. There's an emotional side. There's a love story thing. I think, look, you've got Sandy and you've got Courtney and they develop a relationship and then it takes it in the direction of they fall in love, they get married. You know, that's the whole final act of the film. But to me, I thought, you know, like, they're mixing it up. Adam Sandler is, I think he's 50, isn't he? He's in his 50s. I think it would have been better if they had used, like, the relationship as more like a father-daughter sort of...
Yeah, like
a
like
guidance
a mentor.
Sort of thing.
Yeah,
an actual
like a mentor.
Manager, not a creepy hookup with your client sort of thing. I mean, there's an age thing and, like, I mean, it plays fine, but I think they could have played it a little bit differently and, again, would have gotten something better out of it.
One of my other best bits, end credits.
Yeah.
Not because it was the end of the movie, not being that harsh. Beavis and Butthead. Mike Judge returning, voicing the characters, end credits. So you just hear a conversation between Beavis and Butthead and Sandy Wexler. And it is great. So and legitimately really funny. And then, because end credits, it's all black, you've got the titles running up, but then you'll jump to footage and it's Mike Judge in the recording studio with Sandler.
They
and
do. They just, show a little bit of behind the scenes.
It's just, it's a really nice, sincere scene between Sandler, who, no doubt, it always comes across as such a nice guy. And he's got to be like a nice guy.
Because, I mean, all these people are in this film.
Because of him.
Yeah, and it's... Like, I mean, we know that Adam Sandler has his production company, and we know that he, you know, obviously produced and funded a lot of, like, Rob Schneider movies, Kevin James, David Spade as well, I'd imagine. So, yeah, I mean, I guess in a way, like, they are literally all mates. The film Grown Ups, they are literally just on set, having a good time together, and exploring...
I do like Grown Ups. That was a good one. Would it just give me Sandler and James together, and I'll pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Mm.
Another good movie.
I like the, you know, the joke. What was it? I think Andy Samberg said it, and it was like, oh, Adam Sandler's making like a new film. It's something hell serious or whatever. And then Andy Samberg's just like, who's Kevin James playing? Like, yeah. You know, like, it's what it is. His mates in the film. And it's the pattern. It's what we get.
Kevin James's last movie, Memoirs of an International Assassin. We just assumed that was going to be a Happy Madison movie.
It's a Netflix film.
But, yeah, nothing to do with Sandler.
No, nothing. Okay. I never actually got the end of that revelation there.
Okay.
I just assumed and kept with it.
But the opening of Happy Madison movies, like the beginning,
oh, with the
logo,
Club, yeah.
Terrific. It used to mean something, whereas now...
Now it means like, oh, yeah.
But you know what? We've both said that with these Netflix movies, now we know we're going to be getting at least 8. We were wanting like a different type of movie,
and this
that trend
different.
Has continued. This is not my favorite out of the three.
I would say it's my least
yeah,
favorite.
That's fair. As a whole, I would say it's the least favorite of Ridiculous Six, the do-over.
On the ranking of all Adam Sandler films?
No, I ain't got time. But potentially, that'll take too long. Number one's Happy Gilmore.
Okay.
I can tell you that right now. I'd have to seriously put some thought into the rest.
But I mean, because it is such a, it's a, you know, they've all got their different types. Adam Sandler has done Quirky Goofy to the max, and then he's done, you know, he's done like Rain Over Me, he's done...
Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
He did The Cobbler, I think, last year. That was a decent movie.
Yeah. He's done some kids' films, he's done Bedtime Stories.
With Russell Brand, yeah.
My God. But this one is, you know, like, you've got the comedy there, but, I mean, is it a romantic comedy? It's a more serious, you know, it's not full-on comedy, it's not goofy-goofy, it's... There's a romance, there's an emotional part to it, even if that lands or it doesn't, which to me it didn't, but...
I mean, the romance does play a big part in the story.
It's I think it falls listed. Into that category, but I don't. He's done way better. 51st
Wedding
Dates.
Wedding Singer.
Oh, I'm not.
That's
I was just
going to
start listing the
Adam Sandler romantic comedies. I think
The Wedding Singer might be the best Adam Sandler movie. Oh. To me, anyway. 80. I have a soft spot for 80s.
I really do like the Wedding music. Singer. I do,
but no, he
Happy
has,
Gilmore is always going to be number one.
He has done a lot of good, like where the romantic comedy aspects of the film have really shown through. Like The Wedding Singer or pretty much all the Drew Barrymore ones, I guess. So 51st Dates. Even like Click and stuff.
Even Blended.
Okay, maybe not so much Blended.
Was that Drew Barrymore? Or
was
that
Drew Barrymore,
Aniston?
But...
Okay. Has he done a movie? Yeah. Oh, Friends with something.
I think Just Go With It, I think.
Yes.
In this podcast, we're just listing Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, which I think speaks volumes to what we really think of Sandy Wexler. The fact that we're
we
just
will
talking
just talk
about other
anything
movies.
Else besides this one. Look, my point is, he's done good emotional stuff. Even Click went to like a weird, dark place.
Wow, the
I
ending
stuff.
Of Click, wow, that becomes something else.
Well, not the very ending, but the...
Well, the one where, you know, it's in the future.
He's fat
and old.
And he's dying.
But you went from
Man, we should have
him,
done a spoiler for every...
You went from him farting in David Hasselhoff's face
yeah.
to that emotional scene in the bed. Click, I like it.
But it works.
Yeah, he does.
But this doesn't...
But I think we should... Get back to Sandy Wexler.
This film neither hits emotional or comedic levels that even compared to the good Adam Sandler that we know exists. Should we explain the cameos and why there's so many of them?
Okay, go for it.
Okay, yeah, maybe, so
yeah, go.
The film starts and you've got all these people being interviewed and, you know, they're somewhere nice. It looks like some sort of formal event. Turns out it's a wedding, so we've got a whole wraparound plot device thing.
Which works. I do like
that. I did, yeah. I like that. It was a nice, it seemed like a sincere sort of twist. And it was, oh, okay, yeah, cool. Not that I, you know, like, was keen on the two characters getting married, Sandy and Courtney, but
I was more interested on how that all came about than what was happening in the movie itself.
Yeah.
Like, behind the scenes. Like, I oh, get you were that thinking, like, Sandler oh, that guy's knows there. A lot of people, but, like, how did he get them all at the same time?
So every time there was a cameo, it wasn't so much of, oh, that guy, cool, I'm glad to see that person.
The
or that
mingling
lady.
With other characters. It was more like... Actors, people.
Yeah, it was more like, how did they get roped into it? Or, like, you know, did they all do this on one day? Was it, like... Hey,
I think it'd have to be like one day, you're like, hey, just come down.
We're having a party, but we're going to be shooting some stuff, and we've got some lines for you to say.
If you're listening to this and you know, can you just let us know? Tell us how it all came about.
Some Netflix executive will send us an email.
I'm generally interested, because there's some big talent there.
But I mean, like you said, apparently Adam Sandler is a top bloke, and I think people... In the industry and all the people, you know, like, they like him and they enjoy working with him, and they'll happily just come on set for a day and do some work.
You know, after watching this, I just, you know, deep dived into YouTube and came across Sandler's first ever appearance on David Letterman. He's hilarious. He comes out, he is so nervous, extremely nervous. But he is so funny.
Apparently he doesn't even write, he doesn't prepare his stand-up. He just, like, gets on stage and
just talks.
Wings it, and he just says stuff, and he's, yeah, just starts, like you said, just starts talking about stuff.
Back to Sandy Wexler.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing really bad today.
Yeah, I'm talking about things I saw on YouTube.
There's all a point to this.
We both agree, Rafferty is the favourite of his clients. But if I was to pick another... It's got to be Terry Crews as bedtime Bobby Barnes.
Yeah. I would even give Nick Swardson a bone there. Like,
well, he's the evil Knievel character.
Yeah.
Who the real life Sandy Wernick did manage.
Oh, wow, okay.
Like, back in the day, like, oh, I can't remember whether it was the 70s, I'm not sure when it was, but where Knievel was to jump the shark, Sandy was his manager.
Crazy. I think Nick Swardson. He has a certain thing about it. I mean, I don't think he's in enough. He has, like, a little charm about him that
he's
like,
funny, and he's good when he turns up, I think.
But he is always that random character over there, isn't he?
Pretty sure he does. He has a movie. He has his own movie. He headlines.
I think the closest he got was, like, Benchwarmers.
That's not even him. That's John Heder. And no, David Spade in that movie.
I think Ned Swanson's in it.
If he is, he's not one of the main three.
Yeah, I think he's the one, the sunscreen guy.
But the one I'm trying to think of, that could actually be a Happy Madison movie.
Well, that makes sense.
We're doing it again. We're not talking about Sandy Wexler. I think we should wrap it up.
We should give our review, our rating.
Yeah.
Where we were doing.
Let's tell you what we think of Sandy Wexler.
We should. You go first. Yeah.
Bad movie, funny scenes.
And even dead. How many funny scenes? Can you count them on two hands?
There's not enough to justify the 2 hours, 11 minutes.
Yeah. He's trying to be a nice guy. That's what's happening.
You've got the humour and you've got the heart. And the relationship didn't do it for me. I agree with you completely. If this would have been Adam Sandler and Kevin James, it would have been a much different movie. Those guys gel so well together. Hopefully, well... The next one, no doubt, is going to be different to this and different to the two that have come before. But we've committed to the long haul. We'll watch and review all of these Netflix Adam Sandler movies. A bit late on the bell there. But
I was really into your rating.
It's really hard because I really did like Kevin James, but it's not about Kevin James. It's not his movie.
It's about this film as a whole.
So I couldn't give it anything more than 2 popcorn combos out of 5. And that is because of Kevin James that I'm elevating it to. What about you?
Very generous words there for you. Especially even with the Kevin James bit. Even on that, I'm not going to give it a 2. Just wait for it. Look, yeah. I think we said it already. Yeah, if it was about Adam Sandler managing a puppet guy played by Kevin James, it would have been at least a pretty goofy, funny movie. They could have done such a different thing with this. I think Adam Sandler wanted to make a certain type of film, and I think he's probably done what he wanted to do, and I'm sure he's proud of it. I really struggled to not turn this off multiple times, but the commitment of this podcast and reviewing it,
we all appreciate it.
Oh man, this is a rough one. Yeah, like you said, there are some funny moments for a chuckle. I count maybe like 5 or 6, if that. And the emotional stuff, didn't care at any point about anything that's happening. She was about to get married to some other dude, didn't care. Like, relationships was falling through, didn't care. But it's a stinker. A 1, I think, is generous. 1 out of 5.
Is this your first one?
Probably. This was a pretty average.
It was going to happen.
I mean, yeah. I can't remember what I gave Do Over and Ridiculous 6, but I think I gave them 2s for, so maybe a 3 for Do Over. I can't remember. But this was definitely the worst. A 1, it's a pretty bad film. I mean, like, production-wise and acting, nah, not bad. But, like, that's not enough. Maybe, yeah, okay. Brought down enough. Let's let's lighten some things up with some trivia.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel guilty. And I'm not even saying these things.
Tell us some stuff.
I have.
No, about that.
Oh, trivia.
Like some trivia, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
some trivia. Okay. Since the launch of The Ridiculous 6, Netflix members have spent more than 500 million hours watching the films of Adam Sandler. Wow.
And we contributed.
Yes, we did. And we will continue to contribute. And we will bring every Adam Sandler Netflix movie to you.
Now, I'm assuming that a lot of these hours were not just these new ones, but, I mean, how many of these old movies are on Netflix? There's a few.
There's a few, but what I will say, what I did read, is that his movies are the most watched on Netflix of any movie. They're other original movies and movies that they purchased to play.
Yeah.
His movies are the most watched. Ridiculous 6 and The Do-Over.
That's crazy.
But it's Adam Sandler. You know, whether you see him as who he was, he's still a big guy in comedy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they release it on a Friday. It's the weekend. It's a new Adam Sandler movie in your living room. You don't have to leave the house.
I wonder if they count like 10 minutes of watching it as a full play.
Regardless, that's your trivia.
I've got a little bit more, just something extra to put in there. I discovered this looking for trivia, actually, but Adam Sandler seems to have a quirk thing with all the names of the characters he plays. Not all of them, but the majority of them. Have you noticed that most of them end in a Y sound? Got Billy, Happy, Robbie, Sonny, Nicky, Davey, Whitey. Have you noticed?
I have now.
Right. There's more, but there's... Not only that, but nearly all of the female love interests in his films have the names that start with V. Veronica Vaughn, Virginia Vanette, Vicky Valancourt, Vanessa, Valerie Varan. It goes on, I think. I don't know.
Valerie Varan. Wow, he's just really making stuff up at this point.
I think he has a sister named Valerie or something.
Maybe not then.
But is that the origin of it? Who knows?
That's interesting. No, it didn't.
But
didn't
yeah. So next time you watch an old school Adam Sandler movie or one of these new ones, keep a lookout and see if you can add more names to the list. I couldn't find any more. Well, that's it for our review of Sandy Wexler. Please go subscribe and download this podcast on iTunes, and SoundCloud, and please leave us a review. It helps listeners just like you find the podcast.
We are on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as That Film Stew Podcast. We also have our website, www.thatfilmstewpodcast.weebly.com.
You've been listening to Jason and Luke, the guys from That Film Stew. We'll see you soon.
Come to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.
I can't do an hour though, because I've got to,
I don't think we're going to get close.